Discovering a new species of dinosaur is no ordinary achievement. Discovering two species and collecting a 15-million-year-old water sample trapped half a mile below the surface of Antarctica is beyond that even. Scott Borg is head of the Antarctic Sciences Section in the Division of Polar Programs at the National Science Foundation, and he is a Service to America Medal finalist in the Career Achievement category. Scott, congratulations on your selection as a finalist. You do some of the coolest things that I've heard of in the federal government. What attracted your attention or your passion to that part of the world that is so isolated, and not just geographically, but awareness-wise, too?
Well, it's quite an honor to be selected as a finalist, of course. I will admit there's a certain amount of an explorer in me, and the notion of working in Antarctica back in my early career was quite intriguing. I'm a geologist, so no mosquitoes and no snakes is a big attraction. but it's almost 10% of the continental crust of the Earth. You know, really just under 9%, but that's close enough. And it's a big part of Earth, and the Antarctic is a huge part of the Earth system. So the notion of learning more about it, what kinds of records it holds of Earth history, what it can tell us about past climate, and what observations you can make from the unique platform that the Antarctic represents is something that's attracted me and that keeps my interest over the years.
How long have you spent actually on the ground in Antarctica?
Oh, I haven't added that up.
Take a guess.
A couple or 3 years, maybe. Maybe not quite that. In my earlier days, when I was doing research down there, I would spend up to 3 months at a time. And since I've been at NSF over the last 20 years or so, it's really more like a month and a half, a year, that sort of thing. So maybe a couple of years overall.
I apologize for the personal nature of the questions, but I'm just thinking, for me to go think about spending a month and a half in Texas is amazing, and you're doing this on the very bottom of the entire globe. It's pretty spectacular.
Well, it is a spectacular place to work, but it's when I was a researcher years and years ago, actually doing field research myself, that's one level of excitement. But of course, What the SAMMES nomination is about is really my federal service, and that's really more of a public service role. And so my role since I've been at the foundation has been to facilitate the research work of university researchers across the nation. And that's where it gets into facilitating the work of paleontologists that find dinosaurs, or glaciologists that are recovering ice cores that tell us important information about past climate, glacial dynamics people that are doing really important research that'll tell us how much of the ice sheet is moving from the ice sheet back into the oceans. And that relates to a hugely important question of what the ice sheets will contribute to sea level rise over the coming centuries. These are, really societally, hugely important for our society to come to grips with. And being able to work with the research community to help foster ideas, and then manage a program, have oversight over a program that supports such a diverse array of research, as I said, at universities across the country, and with a lot of very interesting international partnerships to try to get at some of these really interesting scientific questions.
You've worked on any number of fascinating things over your career, and I don't have time to even go into a couple of them, let alone all of them. Tell me about your work on something called cosmic inflation.
Right. So keep in mind, I'm a geologist. I'm not an astrophysicist. But my group, so I'm privileged here to work at the foundation with a fantastic group of people. And that's really, something that attracts me hugely to this job. I have a group of diverse group of scientists that support research across all these disciplines. Well, one of the programs is astrophysics. And And we have supported a program, a telescope, and a series of observations under a program that's called BICEP. Now, this is led by a fellow named John Kovac at Harvard University now. And my group is really, really, you know, in the role of examining proposals, getting peer review input to decide whether this is a good investment. And a number of years ago, we had a proposal to get this thing started that was that really did look like a very interesting approach to see if it was possible to look at the cosmic microwave background and look for polarization in the cosmic microwave background that would give signs of gravitational waves associated with something called inflation that was a stage very early on in the evolution of our universe that, you know, from which, from a very small point, our universe just expanded more than exponentially. And it continues to grow. And it happens that gravitational waves are part of that theory of cosmic inflation, and it happens that those gravitational waves would imprint themselves, leave an imprint on the polarization of the cosmic microwave background. So my group has been supporting this work through grants and through interfacing with our logistical support of the United States Antarctic Program, and facilitating observations at South Pole. It's a very high, very dry place, so it's very good for submillimeter astronomy and astrophysics. It's very good for this kind of observation. And it turns out that there's a very interesting paper that looks like they see a signal that's compatible with these gravitational waves, which helps go a long way to showing that cosmic inflation really did occur.